this morning, and we want to begin. It says this, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says this in the ESV. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." But if you're old school like me, you probably remember the New King James Version, and this is how I learned it. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So the word substance is replacing assurance, and the word evidence is replacing conviction. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for this morning? What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for a family member? Are you believing God for a lost loved one? Are you believing God just for a better job, a better pay? Whatever it is, what are you believing God for? We're believing God. Salvation, amen. So we're believing God for this entire complex over here. We kind of gave up on it for a while. You know, Hurricane Ida came and just kind of really ripped it all apart and destroyed it, and it's just been sitting there. But I really think, you know, God put that in our heart originally, and so we must continue to believe that if it's God's will, if it's God's plan, he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. We just have to be willing to trust. We just have to be willing to believe, amen? That's part of faith, believing in something that is not seen. It takes faith to do that, right? And so we're going to look into this. Look at this. And so we look at this. We look at faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's taking God at his word. Whatever he says, it will happen. It will happen. Amen. Now, I might say something, and it probably, you know, for the most part, I try to be a man of my word. But sometimes I'm just not able to fulfill that promise, whatever it is that I said, right? But whenever God says something, you can take it to the bank, honey, because it is sure, right? It is definite. It is absolute. It is substance. It is something that you can stand on. It's the substance. It's the confidence, the firm trust, and the assurance that we have in God. We can take him at his word, amen? There have been countless promises thus far that God has already fulfilled. And because he has already fulfilled those promises, it gives us even greater faith and even greater assurance to believe him for greater things. Amen. For instance, he said that he would send his son to die on the cross for our sins, and that he will send us a savior. Guess what? He came through with that promise. He sent Jesus, his only one and begotten son, to the earth to die in our place for our sins. He's a God whom we can trust. Amen. We have assurance in him. So faith is believing that God can make the invisible visible. He's able to make the invisible visible. For God about the creation of the earth. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that before God formed anything, it was void. It was nothing. There was nothing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, I think it is 2. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And God spoke, and nothing became something. That is incredible. You know, because whenever I'm a builder, I work with wood, and I just cannot say, boom, be something, be a table, be a chair. No, I have to have something. I have to have the wood that has gone through a process of milling and being, you know, used, you know, cured for my use. I can't just take nothing and make something. I have to have something in order to make something else. Amen. But God, he's able to take the nothingness and make something. You're looking at the nothingness of your life right now. You're like, God, I don't see it. I don't see it possible. But God says, just trust me. Have faith. And that's a big part of faith, is believing that God is able to take that nothing and make something. Amen. He could take a nothing like me. I'm just a nobody, right? And he can make something out of it. If we're willing just to commit our lives unto him, if we're willing to put our faith in him, if we're willing to put our trust in him, he can, amen, nothingness and make it into something. He can take the invisible and make it visible. Amen. Faith is also the evidence. Looking back at that verse, it says, it is the evidence of things not seen. So it's the substance of things that we're hoping for. We're hoping for something. And we're hoping in it, you know, what are we hoping for as believers? We're hoping that one day that we're going to be with God. We're still holding on to this promise that he is coming back for his bride. He is coming back for his church who has made herself ready. We're holding on to that promise. We're awaiting that promise to be fulfilled. And because we've experienced so many other things, you know, with God, because he has proven himself over and over again, we can trust that his promises are yes and amen. We can hold on to that. We can be assured. So it's faith is the substance of things hoped for. There are things that we are hoping for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. So when we look at creation, none of us would step outside the room and say, there is no earth, there is no sun, there are no trees, there are no birds, there are no animals. None of us would step outside and say such things because the evidence says otherwise. The evidence says there are trees, there are mountains, there are bayous, there are gators in the bayou. Don't go in the bayou. There are fish in the bayous. Go fishing for the fish. There are things inside the world. We would not deny them because the evidence is there. So it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to step outside this room and say, oh, well, there's a tree. Oh, well, there's water. But it does take a lot of faith to believe that was not the case. At the beginning, there was nothing. And God spoke that nothing into something. That's where faith comes in. That's where, you know, it doesn't take much to, I can go outside, I can turn my truck on, and hopefully it starts right, and I have some faith in that vehicle, because it's a solid thing, it's something I can see, it's tangible. But it's a whole nother thing to believe God that there was nothing, now there is something. Amen. That's the God that we serve, amen. That's the God that we place our hope in. That's the God that we put our trust in, that he's able to take that nothingness and make it into something. We can have that assurance about it. The Holy Spirit who lives within us gives us the assurance that it is so. Amen. And so you're hoping, you're believing for your loved one. You're believing for healing in your body. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. You're believing for your deliverance. You're believing for your mental health. You're believing for whatever it is. It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it right now, but I believe it's going to be so. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to believe it because of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're hoping for it, and we're believing it because I believe in my God. My God will never fail me. My God will never leave me. My God will never forsake me. He is a good God. I'm standing on the promises of our God. Amen. So, faith is how it's also how God honors men. You know, we read about some of the heroes of the faith in this chapter, in chapter 11, some of the greats of the faith. And what we're not reading about is, oh, well, Moses was a millionaire. Moses was a billionaire. We're not reading about how much money they had. We're not reading about how much financial success they had or how much education they had. What makes them a hero of the faith is the fact that they had faith. And it's so amazing to me that God would choose to honor these individuals by writing their names and having their names in the book of Hebrews. Because faith pleases God. And so whenever you please God, God honors you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? So faith is how God honors the men of old. Looking at verse 1 again, just to kind of reflect. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the people of God receive their commendation. They receive their commendation by God. God thought, man, their faith impresses me. I'm so enamored by their faith. I'm going to have them honored in the book of Hebrews. Now, in some of these guys that you read about, you're like, oh, okay. You might read about them and just kind of glance over their names. But God said, no, there's something incredible about their faith. There's something amazing about these guys. And so one of the first ones that is mentioned is the guy Abel that we're going to get into. But verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Did you guys get that? So what is seen, the things that you go outside and you look at right now, it was made out of nothing. We're not able to do that. as believers. We're not able to do that. Only God can do that. Amen? Ex nihilo, out of nothing, is what that means. And so, when we look at this, first of all, I'm going to give you a scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom, who glory, God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. So if we're made out of nothing, and God spoke us into existence, we're the visible, we were invisible, now we're visible, we have no room to boast in ourselves. We have no room to boast of our talents, of our abilities, of anything of who we are. Let our boasting be of the Lord. Let our boasting be of him. Let our lives be pleasing unto him. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, one of the first heroes that we're going to talk about is Abel. Faith like Abel believes in the sacrifice of Christ to be sufficient for our sins. Amen. Verse 4 says this, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. It's one thing if I commend somebody, but whenever God commends somebody, that's a whole nother level. God says, I like Abel's faith. Now, why not honor like his dad, like Adam, and or his mom, like Eve? But he skips to the next generation. He says, no, Abel has something. He has an incredible faith. Now, up to this point, there has been no sacrifice for sins. There has been no sacrifice. There has been the father, the man, you know, the sins of Adam, the sins of Eve. And because of sin, death entered the world to all of us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why? Because of Adam. Whenever we get to heaven, we can dogpile him and give him a red belly or whatever it may be. Adam, why did you do that? But nonetheless, it was Abel who pleased God. Now, how did Abel's faith please God? It says that he offered a better sacrifice than his brother. You know, that was some bragging rights, right? Yeah, how many guys have siblings? And there's always like a competition between siblings. You don't ever say it, but there's always like this underlining competition between siblings. And you're like, my sacrifice is better than yours, right? That's what God told me that. I mean, and so you could about imagine Abel's bragging rights, but we don't see that. That's just my own imagination. But it says that Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. And because of that, that God seen his sacrifice, God seen his heart. What was different about Abel's sacrifice than Cain's sacrifice? It was a blood sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was basically saying this, I sinned, I messed up, I need some atonement, I need to get right with God, I need this relationship that was hindered by my way back sin, by my mom's sin, I need this relationship with God to be restored, I need a way back to God. And so his offering and his sacrifice is saying, I am a sinner. I need you. I need something to intervene for me because I want to be in right relationship with God. Whereas Cain's sacrifice is like, oh, here's a formality. I have to do this, you know. I have to do this sacrifice. Here's some fruit. God, I hope you like it. Now, before we quick to judge them, don't we do the same thing? Oh, well, I have to go to church today because, you know, that's the thing that we have to do, right? I have to look my best because everybody's going to be looking their best. You know, I have to doll myself up. I have to go to church. Oh, it's Sunday morning. It's Easter. Oh, I definitely have to be at church Easter Sunday. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, man, you know I'm going to be in the house of the Lord for Christmas because, you know, it's something I have to do. It's a formality. You see the difference. And there's a huge difference. And so whenever God says that he honored the faith of Abel, he honored that repentive heart, he honored the fact that he needed someone to intervene on his behalf. Now, fast forward to 2023, when we're living in the dispensation of grace, when we're living in the fact that Jesus has become our ultimate sacrifice, and that what he has done on the cross has paid for all of our sins for all of eternity. And he says, I'm wiping your sins as white as snow. And he wants us to have the faith of Abel to believe in that sacrifice, to believe that what Jesus did for you is good enough. That you don't have to work to try to earn your salvation. You don't have to do enough good things to earn your salvation. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Jesus that makes you whole. Amen? It is that perfect sacrifice. That's why God says, I am pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, he missed the mark. But even in this, if you go back to the beginning of that story, God gave Cain another chance. He said, if you would just do it right, if you would just do it like your brother did it, God's always a God of mercy. God's always a God, he pours out unconditional love and mercy and grace towards us before he brings about judgment. He gives us time and time again to repent, to turn from our wicked ways and to turn to him. And he begs us, he woos us. He's like, come to me, repent of your sins before he brings the judgment. And he's wanting us, if we're reading the book of Hebrews, to realize that Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. Do you believe in that? Do you believe that he died on the cross? Rose, it takes faith to believe this. It takes faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. How many people do you know rose from the dead? Like you went to... But like in your family, so perhaps you go to funerals. Have you seen anybody raised from the dead? But Jesus was raised from the dead. Do you believe that with all of your heart? That's part of faith. That's part of having faith in God. Amen? And so we're to receive the sacrifice of Jesus. We're to believe. We're to realize our need for a Savior, just as Abel was trying to find his way back to God. We're to have faith like Abel. Amen? Continuing, Cain only offered an acknowledgement sacrifice. We don't want to be like Cain. We want to be like Abel. Faith like Enoch. So the next person that we're going to read about is Enoch. And not much is said about Enoch, but let's read about what is said. Faith like Enoch is steadfast and true for years to come. You can read the book of Genesis and just kind of really almost overlook Enoch, because it's not a whole lot said. In fact, I'll read it for you. Genesis 5, 21 to 24 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Enoch. So imagine you're 65 years old, like, okay, it's time to have a kid. This is Enoch. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's a long time. Amen. And had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. That's it. For God took him. That's all the Bible says about Enoch. But then we fast forward to the book of Hebrews, and God thought it was worth mentioning Enoch's name because he had faith. He walked with God. But it didn't say that he did, like, the miraculous deeds like Moses. When we read about Moses, we read about him parting the Red Sea. We read about all the things, all the plagues that were brought upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh. We read about all the mighty acts about Moses and all these different men. But Enoch, we don't see any of those things. You know what else we don't see? We don't see rebellion. Moses had a little spurt of rebellion whenever he struck the rock, and he was supposed to speak to the rock. We don't see any of these things, but all we see is that Enoch, he was a family man, he was a husband, he was a father, and he walked with God for 365 years. And God be pleased with Enoch. This should set someone free this morning. Because, a lot of times we try to maybe be something that we're not, be something that God hadn't called us to be. And perhaps you're just called just to be a family person. You're called to be a father. You're called to be a husband. You're called to be a daughter. You're called to be a mother. And in your day in your day out, it seems like it's ordinary. It seems like it doesn't matter. But God says, no, it matters. Enoch walked with God in his family. In all that he did, he walked with God for 365 years. Every single day. Today, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to have steadfast faith. Tomorrow, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to have steadfast faith. 1 year from now, I'm going to walk with the Lord. 10 years from now, I'm going to have steadfast faith, one foot in front of the other. It might not seem like it's mattering, but God says it matters, and faith pleases God. So if you feel like your life is just ordinary and you're not doing the extraordinary, God sees your faithfulness. God sees it all. He says, no, remain steadfast. Have faith like Enoch and serve me day after day, night after night, year after year, decade after decade, and live for the Lord. Walk by faith, not by sight. Make the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You might say, I don't even see myself making it 10 years down the road. You will make it. It's the evidence of things not seen. You will make it. You will make it to the end. Persevere, persevere, persevere. Keep on going. Yes, life is difficult. Life is hard. You're going to face obstacles. You're going to face tribulations. You're going to face very strong, you're going to face all these different things, but keep on going. Keep on going. Steadfast faith. Steadfast faith. Year after year. Day after day. Because faith pleases God. A couple things about Enoch. It says that he was and that he was not. That's amazing. So he's walking with God, and then whoosh, he's gone. Now, this is a picture of what will happen to those who remain on the earth whenever Jesus comes back for his bride. For those who are alive, they will be met in the clouds. For those who are dead in Christ, they will rise and join Christ in the clouds. Let's read it, because I don't know if you fully believe me yet. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ caught will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that this morning? Do you have faith in that this morning? Is that your hope? Are you hoping for that? You're going to be with God. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen? Amen. He's coming. Amen? Yes. He's coming. Yes. And so, do we read this? Do we fully believe it? Because it's one thing just to read it. Well, that's a good story. I'm glad that's going to happen. But do you fully believe it? That's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is real. Amen? This is real. It's going to take. So Enoch, the first person that was transfigured, if you will, from his normal body to his glorified body. And because here's the thing. Our normal bodies can't stay in the presence of God. So he was transfigured right then and there to his glorified body. He was able to be with the Lord right then and right there, giving us a picture, an illustration of what's to come, that one day we too will meet the Lord in the clouds. Amen. And let all the saints rejoice in that. But steadfast faith, not doing, living for God day in and day out. It seems ordinary. It seems like you're not doing a whole lot, but man, you are, and God notices. Your faith is my final point. Faith pleases God. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So not only does he exist, you have to acknowledge that he exists in order to, so you have to believe, you have to have faith, but he also rewards those who believe in him. Amen. Are you guys waiting and anticipating that reward that he has laid up for you? He says, I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to prepare a place just for you. And whenever I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. This is the hope that we have as believers. Amen? Amen. So Faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. So it's believing God that he can do the impossible. Believing God that he can do what seems to be invisible right now, that he can make visible. Faith is taking the evidence of creation. When we look at creation, we're like, God created that. That should give you faith to believe God for the impossible things. God has set me free. Come on, that should enable your faith to believe God for greater things. God has healed my body. That should give you faith to believe that God can heal someone else's body. God has rescued me from my sins and my shame. God, and so that should cause you to believe that God could do the same for your neighbor, your uncle, your auntie, whoever it may be. Come on, because of what God has done for you, let that build your faith to believe in God the impossible, even for those around you. Amen. And then faith is how God honors the men of old. If we want to be known for anything in this world, whenever we leave, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? I want to be known as a man of faith. He believed God. Amen? Is that your heart as well? That she has faith in God. Even whenever the doctor said that the cancer would eat her body, she still remained faithful to God. She has faith in God. He was a man of God. He led his children in the ways of the Lord. Even whenever his wife was acting crazy and on drugs and all these things, he was a man of God. He never abandoned his faith. He remained faithful. That's what I want. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Having faith, believe God for the impossible. Believe God for bigger things. Don't limit God to a box. Believe God for even greater things in your life. Amen? Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Faith like Abel believes in the sacrifice of Christ to be sufficient for our sins. Do you believe that this morning? You believe that his sacrifice totally and fully takes away the guilt of your sin? You don't have to carry that guilt anymore. You don't have to carry that shame anymore. That you can have the assurance that heaven is going to be your home. You don't have to be bombarded. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I failed God once again. You don't have to carry that shame. You can put it at the foot of the cross and receive his grace, receive forgiveness, and have him do away with that shame. You don't have to carry that anymore. Do you believe that it's all part of believing? And then finally, faith like Enoch is steadfast for years to come. Do you want that kind of legacy where you want to be faithful, not just for a month, not just for a season in your life, but like 50 years down the road, you're still following the Lord. 60 years down the road, you're still living for him. 80 years down the road, come on, you're still serving him. You're still remaining faithful to him because he is rising up to us. He's more faithful than the changing of seasons. He's more faithful than the rising of the sun. He's more faithful than the shining of the stars. He is faithful, and he requires his people to be faithful. It's only the faithful that will enter in. It's only those who persevere to the end that will make it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we just give you this time, Lord, to examine, just examine our hearts. Lord, point out, God, areas of our life in which we have been unfaithful, where we have allowed doubt to creep in. We have not believed you for certain things. We have believed you for this, maybe. We have believed you for that, but maybe you've called us to believe even greater. Lord, let us not limit you, Lord, by our faith, because you are limitless. You are a limitless God. You are able to make that which is visible from the invisible. So, Lord, we trust in that this morning. Help our faith. Help our faith, Lord. For some in this place, they struggle with doubt. Help their faith this morning. Help them, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's through your Spirit, God, that we have the assurance that what you said is real. We take you at your word. We know that your word is true. Lord, you are the only one who gives us the source of our origin. You said, the earth, who created us. You made us in the image and likeness of God, that you created the earth. And Lord, today we stand on that. We believe that. That you are God, that you are able to make something out of nothing. So Lord, today there may be many people who feel like nothing. But that's okay, because you're able to make something great out of nothing. Lord, just as we read, Lord God, in the examples, even of Enoch, who just seemed to be a normal family man, you are able to make something out of nothing. So Lord, today we give you our lives, and we are willing to trust you. We are willing to believe you, Lord, for greater. Give us the faith of Abel. Give us the faith of Enoch, some of the greats of the faith, oh Lord. Strengthen our faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And you might be in this place and perhaps you've never given your heart to the Lord today. I want to give you that opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Yes, it will be difficult. Yes, I'm not, you know, just by being a Christian, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. On the contrary, you will experience conflict. You will experience tribulation. But man, you gain Christ. And when you gain Christ, you got it all. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy you like Jesus can satisfy you. There's no drug, no alcohol, no relationship that can satisfy you like Jesus can. He is great. He is the great I am. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is your all-satisfying God. He is your peace. He is your rock, your shelter, your salvation, your sanctification. He is everything that you need. Don't go another day without surrendering your heart to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you say, come into my life, change me, and make me new. And that's you this morning. If you just need to, maybe you just need to recommit your life to the Lord. We invite you to stand. We invite you to stand. Make a bold stand for the Lord, because he says, if you are ashamed of me and my words, then I will be ashamed of you whenever you're standing before the Heavenly Father. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. So if you're in this place today, you just need a Savior. You're like Abel, and you're like, I just need a way back to God. Would you just stand to your feet? And we're just going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. Amen. And if you don't feel comfortable with standing, we encourage you just to the Lord. I want you to say a prayer. It's not going to be in the prayer. It's going to be in a commitment that you make to the Lord. But the prayer kicks it off. The prayer says, God, come into my heart. And so would you just repeat after me? You can, if you don't feel comfortable standing, just repeat after me and say, Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Let everyone say this prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So today I acknowledge you as my Lord.
Today I acknowledge you as my Lord.
I acknowledge you as my Savior.
I acknowledge you as my Savior.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Change me.
Change me.
Make me more like you.
Make me more like you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
And let God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you are saved. 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 Amen. And don't let the enemy lie to you and say that you're not. Don't let him bring up your past, because as soon as he brings up your past, you bring up his future. The Bible says that he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He's going to burn forever. Amen. All the torment that he has caused you, all the pain that he has caused you, he's going to burn. Amen. God's going to bring about justice, because he is a just God. He is a loving God, and he loves you with an unconditional love. Amen. Faith. Amen. We need more faith in our lives. And so we have some great examples to learn from. We hope that you are encouraged this morning to have faith to believe God for the supernatural. As we continue in this series next week, come and be a part. Invite a friend and call in that they too will be encouraged to have faith. Amen. We love you guys, and we pray that you have a blessed day. Amen.